Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Hey friends, and welcome to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, and I'm so glad you're here. Each week on this show, I invite a friend to join me, and we chat about the big things in life, the little things in life, and everything in between. Happy, happy Friday, you guys. I don't know if you're having some Friday Night Lights football like we are this week, but I've got a football player on the show today that I'm so excited about. My guest is Sam Acho. Sam Acho is an NFL player. He's a writer, public speaker, and co-host of the Home Team podcast. Sam is also Emmanuel Acho's brother. And you guys might have seen us this summer on Emmanuel Acho's show, Uncomfortable Conversations with the Black Man. Well, this is his brother, and I am so excited to have him on the show today. It's fabulous people like Sam that made me so happy to have men on the Happy Hour. Starting this year, I've loved it. Have you guys loved it? In today's episode, we chat about fun Super Bowl predictions, the process of transitioning to new seasons, and releasing his new book. He also dives into his journey of learning not to hide his emotions and allowing people to see him for who he is, the same way that the Lord sees us. You're going to love this conversation. Make sure also pick up his new book. It's called Let the World See You. Friends, right now we are knee deep in our Read With Me fun book club type thing where we're reading my new book, You Be You. And this is what Amanda had to say about the book. I pre-ordered this book and have been part of the most incredible book club ever. Reading this book has been such an encouragement to me. In a world that wants to tell you that everything should be about you, we were created for a much bigger purpose, to bring God glory in everything we do by being just who He created you to be. This book is perfect to help us remember who we are. It challenges us to be better. It shows us compassion and grace when we know we will fail. I am thankful for Jamie and the words that she's given us for such a time as this. Amanda, thank you for your kind review of the book. I'm so thankful for all of the readers who have given UBU a chance this fall. There's still time for you to join us in this reading challenge this month. Text Read With Me, all one word, no spaces, to 33777. Again, that's Read With Me to 33777. Okay, friends, here's my conversation with Sam Acho. Hey, Sam, welcome to the Happy Hour.
I'm so glad to be here, Jamie. And apparently, like, so I was talking with Lindsay earlier, who's a boss, by the way, right? You gave her a shout out on social media. Like, she's part of your team. And I know y'all just started inviting men here. So I'm low-key honored to be on this podcast, straight up.
I'm so excited. It is so funny. We just have started having men this fall. And every man that's been on has been like, man, I'm so excited. Because we did this for 6.5 years without any men. And now we're like, bring them on. We love the men. Come on.
Yeah, so I really am honored. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. Well, in case anyone didn't catch my intro of you earlier, introduce yourself to my listeners.
Definitely. So my name is Sam Acho. I played linebacker in the NFL for 9 years. I am a speaker, humanitarian, but what I'm most excited about is I have a book coming out on October 13th. It's like a week and a half after your book, right? I'm like, it's the weirdest time
I know
to be releasing a
yes,
book, right?
Yes, yes.
But I have a book coming out. It's called Let the World See You, How to Be Real in a World Full of Fakes. And really my whole goal is, as we're talking about men, I want not only women, but men to understand, hey, it's okay to be you. Whether it's your emotions or your, even sometimes there's anger, there's all these different feelings that oftentimes we hide. I want people to show the world who you are, to let the world see you. And so that's what I'm most excited about.
Okay, so you played at University of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Do you watch the college football games?
I really don't.
Okay.
I really don't. I'll watch every now and again. Like I'll watch.
Well, you didn't miss anything this weekend, just to let you know.
I'll check the scores. I'll be like, oh, here we go again. Like, what's happening? Like some people, it's like every Saturday, I got to watch the games. For me, I'm like, if I'm not doing anything, I'll throw it on, you know?
Do you watch NFL games a lot?
I do. Funny enough, I do. And I didn't before when I was kind of like in the thick of it, right? So I'm a free agent now. So I played last year. I'm not playing this year as of now. But before, I didn't even watch any games. Because I'm like, I do this for a living.
Yeah.
Kind of, I've had enough. But now, for whatever reason, I'm really excited about NFL games. So on Sundays, I mean, don't call me on Sundays. And I never thought I'd be that guy, but now I am currently that guy. So
that is so funny. Well, do you have a favorite team or is that weird to say?
No, it's not weird to say.
Can you do that when you're an NFL player?
Yeah, you could have a favorite team. It's changed. I mean, so I like the Bears because I played for the Bears for 4 years, but I was also released by the Bears. So a little of me, it's almost like a jealous, like kind of ex-relationship. It's like, I kind of want y'all to lose, but I don't want to say anything. And so, but I still have a bunch of friends for that team. I have some friends who play for Tampa Bay. And so, but my favorite team, I've never really had a favorite team. It's always been players. I've loved specific players. And now that I've played, I got friends.
You have friends on all the teams I've had. You're you can't watch a game without knowing someone. Do you want to predict who's going to win the Super Bowl?
I think the Buffalo Bills are going to go far.
Okay.
I don't know if they can beat Baltimore or Kansas City, but I think they're going to go far. I think the Green Bay Packers are going to go far. I don't know if they can. I mean, they have had trouble with teams like San Francisco and New Orleans. I think that the it's 2020, so I think the Buffalo Bills are going to win the Super Bowl.
Oh my gosh, that is 2020.
It's 2020.
That's 2020. 2020. I am not a huge NFL lover, but my son, both all my kids love to watch NFL. And my son, who knows the most about football, this is his prediction. Ready? He predicts the Ravens and the Chiefs are going to meet in the Super Bowl.
Well, see, here's the thing. The Chiefs are, I feel like it's easy to say the Chiefs because they just won.
Yeah.
Right. So here's the thing. But here's the only issue with that. The Ravens and the Chiefs have to play. And now this is turning into a sports podcast, right?
I love sports, Sam. this is so fun.
So the Ravens and the Chiefs have to play each other in the, we're assuming a lot, but they're going to have to meet each other in the AFC Championship game. So only one of those.
Oh, maybe that's not who he said because he knows football. So he wouldn't have said that.
He probably said they'll meet each other in the AFC Championship game. And I don't know who he said is going to come out on top, but one of those teams. He's saying one of those teams will be in the Super Bowl. The Bills are also in the AFC.
Uh-oh.
So I'm literally saying that.
We're saying the AFC is stacked this year is what you're saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This is so fun. I would sit and talk about football. I would be on a sports podcast if I could.
Yes. Well, come on. Sam Ponder, we'll have you on.
I always say, like, if you could go back and you're like, if you could have your dream job, my dream job would be like Sam Ponder or, the amazing women who get to stand on the sidelines and talk about football for a living. What a job. That'd be so much fun.
Yes.
Okay. But this is not a sports podcast, Sam. So we will quit. I actually think there are a lot of women that are like, oh, yeah, they can have these conversations as well. I love when I hear women talk about sports. It's so
fun. I'm all about it, man. I mean, you got me going. If you want to do it, we can go there. I don't know. Like I said, it's 2020.
We're here for this.
But I mean, it's the Bills. I think the Bills are going to do it this year.
Said it here.
Yep. It's been said here. And then I think, who are they going to play in the NFC? I mean, I really like the Packers. I don't like the Saints. I don't like Tampa Bay as much as everybody's talking about Tampa Bay.
I do like the Saints, though. Is that okay?
No, it's okay, but I'm just saying, like, the last 3 years, look at what they've done. Like, they've so, like, what's different? What has changed? Same coaches, same players. So, I mean, I think they're going to get to the NFC Championship or maybe the divisional round no offense to the Saints fans, but
there it is. They are offended, by the way, if they're a Saints fan. And you said that, no offense, they took it. They're offended. Okay, so you spent 9 years in the NFL, free agent right now. Do you want to play next year?
Yes and no. I mean, I've really thought about this a ton. So there's a chapter in the book about this, but just this idea of transition, like when do you transition and how do you transition well? About 2 years ago, something started to change in my heart. My desires started to change, right? This is like, and I had just signed like a multi-year contract, multi-year, multi-million dollar. Mm-hmm. It was like, man, you're doing it. You made it. And for whatever reason, I wasn't happy.
Yeah.
I wasn't happy. And so, and a lot happened that year with an injury. And I remember getting benched. We traded for this, Khalil Mack, who's like a generational talent player. And so he took my spot. And then I had an injury. Then I got released. And so much happened. And that year was really when my book started to kind of come out. But in addition to all those things happening, I started even talking to a counselor as well. I was talking about things that I really love or don't love. And as I was speaking, when I was talking about football, it would be like, I have practice tomorrow. Or, I'm going to, we got a game next week. Or we're going to the playoffs. Or that'd be my thought. But when I was talking about speaking or even like ideas about the book, I'm like, man, I got a chance to speak next week to these people. Oh, I got a chance. I'll get so excited. And so I started asking the question, man, do I really want to play? And so, Jamie, to answer your question now, do I want to play? Fast forward 2 years later. And granted, I played last year and I was with Tampa Bay last year. I don't in a lot of ways.
Huh.
I really don't. I think I'm ready to transition to something different, to something new.
I think transitions, I'm glad you wrote about that because I think transitions are oftentimes super scary because you start to go, and I don't know if this is how you're feeling right now, but I felt this at times in my life as well. And I feel like even, you know, we joke all the time about 2020 being a crazy year, but it's also a big transition year for a lot of people because they're having to pivot. They're having to figure out how to do their job differently or how to do a new job or whatever that might be. And so what is one of the things that you think has helped you think through that transition and not think like, oh, maybe I don't want to play because, you know, maybe I'm not as good or judging yourself or whatever. How have you transitioned well? And I think you're still transitioning. So what are some things that have helped you walk through that?
I think the first thing is realizing that just because you make a decision doesn't mean you have to immediately make a move.
Okay, that's good.
And what I mean by that is, because I'm sitting with my counselor and he's asking me, do you actually want to play football? And no one had ever asked me that before. I mean, my whole life.
It's like assumed.
Yeah, it's assumed. And for me, I assumed, yeah, I'm going to go to college, go to Texas. Okay, I'm going to try and get the starting spot. Okay, I'm the starter. Now we're winning games. We're going to the national championship, setting records. Now I want to get drafted. Okay, I'm doing the drafting and I get drafted and I go to a team. Now I want to be the starter again and I want to do the whole thing and I get injured and I come back up and I go back down and I come back up and I switch. And so it's like, okay, you got to go. And he asked me, he said, do you want to play? And I didn't know how to answer that question. I legitimately didn't know. No one had ever asked me. And so even as we were having that conversation, what he said to me was really helpful. He said, it's okay to obviously be honest with yourself. It's okay to say you don't want to play if that's how you feel, but that doesn't mean that you don't. Right? He said, you may just play for different reasons now.
Yeah.
Because before it was, okay, I want to be the best and you know, I want to be, you know, records and I want to just be dominant and all these things. But I mean, that was before getting married and having kids and having all these injuries and saying, okay, God, and then also writing books and speaking and really finding new passion. And so the last few years I've been coming to grips with the fact that I may not want to play doesn't mean I stopped completely, right? Yeah. Last year, right? That was 2018. 2019, I went back and I signed with Tampa Bay halfway through the season and I loved it. But my posture, at least in my heart, had changed. The posture was no longer, I'm going to go and embarrass everybody and be the best. It was like, hey, I need a little bit of money, right? That would help. You know what I mean?
It's a job.
It's a job.
Yeah.
So the pay is great. And also I get a chance to minister to the guys in the locker room. I get a chance to do the things that I enjoy doing. And so my reason was different. Even this year, if a team called, right, I wouldn't automatically say, yes, I'm there. I would have to think about it a little bit. Okay, well, how would this affect my family and with COVID and all the different things? And so my advice would be, it's okay to be honest with yourself, but you don't have to, even if it's something that no one else believes that you should do, right? Talk to friends and get wise counsel, but you don't have to make the move immediately.
I think that's really, really good because sometimes in the transition, it's like, I have to change everything right now. You know, I have to change everything right now. And that's so good. Who was your quarterback at Texas?
It was Colt McCoy.
Okay, awesome. You know, Colt was on the show earlier this year because I was just thinking when you were talking, I was like, you're my second NFL player. And I was like, I scored major cool points with my kids when Colt was on, and Colt and Aaron are friends. So this is, I love all the connections.
Yes.
That was a fun conversation. And we talked about the national championship is why that made me think of it right then. Sam, you have this book that came out in October, Let the World See You, How to Be Real in a World Full of Fakes. Where did this idea for this book come from? Because I think I look at the title. First of all, the cover is really, really cute. I love it. Cute maybe is not a good word to use with you, but it makes you go like, oh, what is this about? I think this is a conversation that a lot of people are having right now because we want authenticity. We want to be real. And sometimes it feels like even wanting to be real sometimes can be fake, if that makes sense. And so where did this book come from for you? Where did this birth in you?
Yeah, well, before I even answer that, I actually have a bone to pick with you.
Yes, oh, no. Did I do something wrong?
I have a bone to pick.
Oh, no.
I was getting ready to write the book, and I was super excited, had my, like, the manuscript, not even the manuscript, but I had my book proposal and all the ideas and was going, and a lot of the, you know, chapters. And I had my title, and I submitted it, and they said, hey, we love the content. We love what you're writing about. We have to change the title. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, this is my title. I love this title. There's so much that happened. He said, we have to change the title. And I was really kind of frustrated and upset. I was like, I'm keeping this title. And they said, well, Sam, here's the deal. There's another book coming out right around the same time your book is coming. The title of my book at inception was Be You.
Oh, I love it.
And, so, and your book is called You Be You. And I didn't know who it was. I was like, whoever this person is, I'm so mad at them. And so how it started was in 2018, that season I was talking about where so much happened. We had a brand new coach. And for so long in my time in the NFL and in life, I felt like I had to pretend. Like I had to pretend. And even I felt like I had to pretend that I just loved football and it was the only thing I cared about, when in all reality, I love like learning and school and all the things. And I love listening to people and just hanging. And I love, you know, even just like the personality types of football player, you think like big, bad, and all the, and I'm like, dude, I'm super kind and nice and emotional. And so we had a coach, and he came in, and his motto for our team that year was be you. It was be you. I don't care what you like or what you dislike, be you. And interestingly enough, that was his theme for our team that year. But personally, it was a theme that started to really resonate in my heart. Sam, you have to be you. I remember a week going into training camp, just feeling a ton of pressure after signing this big contract and going to, you know, new coaches and everything. I'm supposed to be the guy this year. And I finally made it, and feeling all this pressure and sitting down with a buddy of mine. And I was in a really dark place emotionally, relationships, all of my relationships with family, friends, wife, kids were strong. And so I remember saying, hey, I just want to get back to football. I just need the season to start. Let me just get back to football and I'll be able to be fine and everything will be good. He said, and I was crying in front of this dude, like just in tears. And he said, well, Sam, if that's how you feel right now, if every, cause I was like, man, my marriage is struggling. Mm-hmm. Relationship with my kids, I get angry with them so easy. I don't know. And he said, if that's how you are right now, he said, I'm afraid what happens when football ends for you, when you retire, if you're just saying, hey, this off season, anytime I'm, I remember just sitting there crying. He said two things. He said, hey, one, number one, maybe God's writing a book in your life and you may only be on chapter two. And then he also said something that really stuck with me. He said, oh, by the way, Sam, it's nice to see you. It's nice to see you. And this is like in my tears and like everything, like snot bubbles, like he, nice to see you. And he recommended, he was the one who recommended I talk to that counselor. So a week later, the day we reported a training camp that night, that morning, I'm at in a counselor's office. Never met with a counselor in my life, a therapist. And he asked me a couple questions about emotions and hiding and all these things. Then he says, what do you do when you get angry? And I look at him because I, you know, no one really asked me that question. I said, well, I don't get angry. And he says, well, dude, come on, what do you do when you get angry? And I said, I don't get angry. And he says, well, everyone gets angry. So what do you do when you get angry? And I look at him. It seemed like there was no escape. I wasn't going to win this one. I just started to cry. I started to cry. And as I'm crying, once again, like I couldn't control, like I can't control these tears, cry. And he looked at me and he said, oh, Sam, it's nice to see you, you know? And so that was just the beginning of a journey of being seen, right? The next day I'm in front of my teammates and I'm crying and I'm emoting. And it's like, I realized that when I showed people me, I wasn't shunned or rejected or tossed aside or thrown away or cast out. Instead, I was embraced. I was loved. I was accepted. I was welcomed. I was, for lack of better terms, hugged. And so this book was birthed out of a pain of hiding, but a freedom of being seen and being known and being loved. And a bone that I had to pick with you, Jamie. I had to change my title to Let the World See You. And
it's a great title, Sam. That is so funny. That is so funny. That happens all the time for people. It's just hilarious. Okay, well, you mentioned something that I want to ask some more questions about. You mentioned, you know, when you started to come to terms with who you really are, you felt like seen and loved and hugged. And that's a fear that a lot of us have is like, if I show who I really am, I'm going to be rejected and I'm going to be pushed back. How has that changed your marriage? Yeah, go there. How has that changed your marriage? And how long have you been married? Tell me that.
So I've been married about 7 years.
Okay.
My wife, her name is Ngazi. She's from Nigeria. Ngazi means blessing in Igbo. And she has been, I mean, she's lived up leaps and bounds past that, what her name means. We've been married for about 7 years. I say about seven because we did two weddings. We did a Nigerian wedding, which was in Nigeria, right? 2,000 people in a field. And
oh my gosh.
Even people who weren't invited showed up. It was that kind of wedding. Like, it was like, hey, you're getting married, right? I mean, yeah, I don't know you, right? But he's like, oh, I'll be there. Don't worry.
Yeah.
And then we had an American wedding a few months after that. And so about 7 years. And me being me has changed my marriage tremendously. And what I mean by that is this, early on, anyone who's married or even in a relationship, I think early on, we are scared in a lot of ways of exposing our real selves to our spouses. Because what if the self that, what if who we are isn't who they want? What if who we are isn't who they want? So that's a fear that we have. And obviously the Bible says that perfect love casts out our fear. My wife said something to me the other night. She said, and this is after actually we had like a pretty good, you know, I don't want to call it an argument or discussion or debate, right? We had a disagreement. And I would always run from those because I said, man, I don't want to, conflict wasn't my thing. And I don't want to, what if she leaves me? Like, this is fears, right? And after our disagreement, she said, I love everything about you. I love everything about you. And there's nothing about you I wouldn't change. She started naming the things about, she's like, I like you. I love your nose. And I'm like, it's funny. I wouldn't even look. I couldn't even, and I'm learning how to do this, right? But even to look her in the face as she said it, because I felt a little bit of almost shame. Mm-hmm. Of like, well, am I being to this or to that? She said, no, I love that about you. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that you correct me. And it's vice versa, right? Because she, if anybody knows my wife, she's a boss, right? She's amazing. And so, and she doesn't, you know, take crap from anybody. She keeps it 100. And so the fact that I can keep it 100 with her now, because I wasn't doing that earlier. If something bothered me, I would just keep it inside and I would just shut it up. Yep. Right. And then I'd just be mad for days.
Yeah.
Right. And now all of a sudden it's like our relationship was getting further. But now, right, with letting the world see me and being me, and even with this counselor as well, like now it's this idea of, oh, wow, hey, these things really hurt me. Mm. Like that really hurt my feelings. And I'm telling her about this. And instead of her being like, dude, come on, you're supposed to be a man. Like, man up. She's like, dude, I love you. Mm. I love that part about you. And so anyways, it's been a radical change. And I feel like it's like this upward spiral of like, wow, more and more and more. I'm getting almost caught up in a new kind of love, a love that's not conditional, a love that's not based off of how many dates can you go on or how nice of a ring do you have? And those things are all good. Or how much money can we make? No, a love based off of, hey, this is like a low part of that I'm not proud of. And she's like, let's work through it together.
Mm. And you guys have three kids?
We have three kids. We have a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, she'll be 4 next week, and a 2-year-old.
Oh my gosh. It is busy at the Ocho house. Three kids, wife, husband. Now, okay, so I have a question about, you mentioned earlier in the conversation about, you know, there was a season when like you were just like, I got to get to training camp. Life is hard. I just already asked you how this has changed with your marriage. What about parenting? What is that? When you think about, I'm going to be my real self, I'm going to let the world see who I am, I'm going to feel my emotions, I'm going to be true to myself. How has that changed your as a parent?
I believe that now I'm starting to be the parent that I always hoped that I would be. Mm. Now that I am letting my son, I have two sons, right? But I have a 5-year-old named Caleb, and he's very much like me and super emotional and cries at the drop of a hat and loves hard and loves well and super just sensitive to people and how they're feeling. And a lot of me was afraid that he would be taken advantage of. Because I know for me, sometimes I felt like I was taken advantage of because of my kindness or my empathy. Mm-hmm. And so before I tried to almost like say, no, don't do that. Don't be that nice and all these things. And now I'm realizing, number one, I get to apologize to him for a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I don't have to act like I'm the big bad dad who has all I get to apologize. And also like we hug a lot more. Mm-hmm. My son, like we hug a lot more and I'll just tell him, dude, I'm so proud of you. And even if you didn't do it right or how I wanted, or even if you made a mistake, we all make mistakes. Only God, Jesus is the only one who is perfect. So we all make. And then my daughter too, she's 3 and for her, it's these kisses. She gives me these kisses and she always wants to play. And, you know, daddy, I want to make food. And daddy, can we go to the store and get these, you know, dolls to do family stuff? And so like for me, I'm like, yeah, let me just love you for the things that you love.
Yeah.
And then last, my youngest one, he's just a free spirit. And like, he just is his own person. Caleb is my oldest, Sophia is my second, and Kelechi is my youngest. And it's funny, we were in the hospital when he was born, maybe a few hours before he was born. We didn't know what his name was going to be. And we had already liked the name Kelechi, which means thank God in Igbo, but we didn't know what his middle name was going to be. And a lot of me throughout my life, I felt like, man, am I ever going to be able to get over the hump when it comes to like spiritual growth or when it comes to even like temptation or when it comes to all the things that we go through. And so we had this name in mind, his middle name in mind, but that name was going to be Victor. Mm-hmm. But I said, I don't really know. Cause in my culture, names have meanings, right? Yeah. Name, everything, you know? So I was like, man, Victor, that means a lot because that means we're saying, man, you're a Victor and we feel like we're a Victor. I was like, I don't know if I feel that way.
Yeah.
And I was just being honest with my wife. Well, a few hours before we're supposed to have this, you know, she's going to have a C-section and we're in the hospital. And this is right after I met with that counselor, right after I talked to my friend, right? 2 weeks later in the hospital. And my wife turns this song on her phone called Victory by this Nigerian kind of artist named Eben. And this song just talks about like, it says like, come and see what the Lord has done for me. He has taken away my sorrow and now I'm free. And it goes into like a Igbo kind of phrase. It says, Agame pura aleluya puru. Like almost like I'm going to like lift God up. Hallelujah. And then it says, because of Jesus, every day and the phrase they use is shakara, but it's like, I kind of like can dance and have joy, right? God has given me victory. And she played that song and we essentially locked eyes and we said, let's name him Victor. Name him Victor. And so they kind of roll her to the back to do the C-section. She comes out, she's fine, baby's fine. And we all, I mean, it was a 10-pound, 6-ounce baby, a big old baby. She's fine, baby's fine. But she was kind of complaining about some stomach stuff. And they're like, oh, the doctor said, you'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Well, so 12 hours later, right? Because I'm sleeping in the hospital, just waiting with her in the middle of training camp, right? Day off.
I was doing the math and I was like, okay,
in the middle of training camp.
Yeah.
But this is like, I got a baby, so I got to go, right?
Yeah.
Or we're having, you know, Mark's having a baby. And so staying in the hospital, 12 hours later, I wake up after 12 hours after the C-section, after Kelechi's born, wake up to a room full of nurses and a doctor in our room and my wife screaming in excruciating pain. She had had blood clots. And she'd been complaining about something and the doctors kind of pushed it aside. Mm-hmm. She had blood clots and they weren't passing. They had to go and do a surgery. They were like large, another surgery, 12 hours after a major surgery.
Uh-huh.
And so they wheel her out and she didn't want to do it. She didn't want to go back to sleep and all the things. And they said, if we don't do this, you may not make it.
Wow.
And so they wheel her out and it's just me and Kelechi there, right? You said, how has this emotion thing changed my, you know, talking about kids and stuff. And I'm crying out to God, like, God, what are you doing? Where are you? I didn't sign up for this. You're supposed to be, like, you're the one who raised Lazarus and you know, you heal the sick and you tell the wind and the way, like, where are you, God? Just say something. And crying out, and I felt like the Lord was like, and I said, just say the word and she'll be fine, right? You're the same God who spoke to me. Just say the word. And I felt like he was like, she'll be fine. I just felt this peace. I said, all right, cool, fine. I just go and I sit down and I lay down on that little couch in the hospital rooms. And as I'm crying out and crying, and Kelechi's just sitting there, just chilling, just blinking his eyes, looking at me, kind of. And so ever since then, I said, okay, this guy's, first of all, he's awesome. And secondly, he's going to be my little buddy for life.
Because y'all bonded right there in the room. Oh my gosh. And then you had to go back to training camp.
I had to go back to training camp the next day. And I think that's honestly when a lot of things in my life came to a head. Because I'm sitting there thinking, okay, if my wife wouldn't have made it, who would have been there for me? Out of all of these teammates that I have and all these coaches and friends, they really didn't care that much. Like, they're trying to make the team. They're trying to go and be great. Who would have been there for me? And so I remember going back the next day and just a lot was on my heart. Yes, I had more passion and desire to go and dominate, but also was very volatile as far as emotions go. I remember walking to my coach's office the next day because my wife, you know, everything went well and she came back and she said, hey, go to practice. You got stuff to do. My parents were in town. She said, just go. So I went and I remember going to go see my coach to let him know that what had happened. And as I'm walking up, I actually walked by George McCaskey's office, who's the chairman of the Chicago Bears. He and I developed a relationship and he had heard what had happened and he had sent flowers and a text message. And he called me into his office and he said, how's she doing? And I just slumped back on the wall and like leaned down. And I just start crying. Now, this is in front of like, this is the guy who, his mom is the owner of the team.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm just crying. And what George did, right? You asked the question earlier, how is this you letting the world see you affected your marriage, relationship with the kids, and even now with friends? What George, I never would have done this in the past. I'd have put it all together. But what George did is he said, he didn't even say anything. He filled up a glass of water, put it in front of me, bottle of Gatorade, put it right there next to me, and just sat down on a chair and just waited with me. So
that's a good friend.
It's a good friend. He's a good friend.
Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginner or advanced rides, feel good live DJ rides or artist themed rides, they've got something for you. You guys, I've done the beginner rides a lot and I'm not ashamed of that. And I've loved every single one. Peloton bike instructors keep you motivated from day one. In fact, I found a few of my favorites and I keep going back to the same instructors. They show you the basics. They'll help take the guesswork out of your workout and encourage you to build from there. Peloton Entertainment keeps you moving. You can watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride. Perfect for those days when you don't want to miss a thing. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Now, I know because I read this part in the book about how you guys developed your relationship, you and George. And so would you be willing to talk about that with me, about that relationship and how y'all developed that, which you can, you know, tell how y'all became friends and how that looked in the football world. But you were playing it with the Bears when Colin Kaepernick was with the 49ers. And we saw him take a knee in protest of the injustice that was happening against Black men, Black women in our country at the hands of people in power. And so tell the story about how you and George became friends and even what that was like for you being in the NFL playing when everyone was going, what are we going to do here?
Yeah, so I had just left the Arizona Cardinals. I'd signed with the Bears and I was just trying to figure out life and hopefully I can make the team year after year. But one thing I always love doing is I love doing these like celebrity waiter nights, these fundraising events for my, you know, I have some nonprofit stuff that my family and I do in Nigeria. And so it was my second year with the team and I had set up this, what I thought was going to be an awesome celebrity waiter night where the players come and they're serving you. So now imagine like your favorite players.
That would be fun. Yes.
It'd be fun, right?
I love it. Yeah.
Yes. And so I had it all set up and it was a weekend before the event. And I went to the mall to just go grab something. I don't know what I was doing in the mall. And I saw George McCaskey, who I hadn't really spoken with. He's the chairman of the team. His mom is the owner. Their family is the McCaskey family. It's like, you don't really, I never talked to him.
And you're brand new.
And I'm brand new. And, you know, I'd been there for about a year, but I hadn't really, you know, it was whatever. It's like the first off season that I really had with the team. And George sees me. He says, "Hey, Acho." And I'm like, "Who the heck?" And I go and I say, "Oh, George, nice to see you. Nice to meet you," the whole thing.
Yeah.
And he said, "Hey, so I heard you're having an event coming up on Monday." This is Friday or Saturday we're talking. "I heard you're having an event coming up on Monday. Why was I not invited?" And I'm looking like, I thought I sent the,
what you're thinking is like, I don't know you. I don't know if that'd be weird. Yeah.
Right. Or I don't know. And also I was like, are you joking? Are you being serious? Like, and I didn't know him. And I was like, "Well, actually, sir, like, give me your number. I'll get you the invite. And I'd love to have you there." He says, "Awesome. I'll be there." And so, cause I didn't know if, you know, do you invite the coaches? Do you invite the management? I'm not trying to be the guy who's, you know, sucking up to.
Whatever. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so I sent, get his number or email address. Really. I email him the invite. And on Monday, the day of the event, he's the first one to show up. And not only does he show up to this celebrity waiter night, he shows up in an Acho jersey. And so he's there early. I'm there. He might've got there before me. And so we had a chance to talk. And first of all, I was shocked that he showed up. And as we're talking, he said, "Hey man, though I hadn't met you personally yet, I knew you because my friend who's the owner for the Arizona Cardinals spoke the world of you." Mm. "And he thinks the world of you. And so how could I not show up to this event?" Mm-hmm. And so the fact that he showed up for me built this level of trust to where a year later, when everything was happening with Colin Kaepernick and he was taking a knee and protesting social injustices, really racial injustice in our country. And then, so all that was happening and, you know, he was taking a knee. And then at that time, the president had made some comments as well about NFL players saying all those players should be fired and SOBs. Those are comments that he made. And a lot of players were not happy about them. And so essentially the entire NFL, a lot of players were ready to take a knee. And so it's the night before the game. This is week 3 of our season, right? The next year, the night before the game, the comments had just been made and we were up in arms. And so I just left the chapel. We have a chapel the night before, then we have a team meeting, then we go to sleep, and then we play the game. I'm walking out of chapel, walking towards the team meeting, and I get cornered by George McCaskey, who's the chairman of the team, Ryan Pace, who's the head coach of the team. Ryan Pace is the general manager, and John Fox, who's the head coach. And at this point, I think this is my last day as a Bear, right? When do you ever meet with
are all three of you coming at me? Yeah.
Right, right. And they stop me, and I'm thinking, okay, give me an excuse or an answer. What happened? How do I stop it? And they say, "Sam, what are you all going to do tomorrow for the game during the national anthem?" And I'm like a little low-key relieved that I wasn't like, "Hey, Sam, turn in your playbook."
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but they say, "What are you going to do?" And I look at them. And George rarely came to the team hotel the night before. He rarely came to these meetings. And I look at him and say, "Honestly, I don't know. I have to ask the guys. There's so many emotions going on. I have to ask the guys." But I said this. I said, "George," and I addressed George directly because we had a relationship. I said, "But George, if you're here and you want to say something, if you're here going to be at this meeting, you have to say something. We need you to say something. You know, you never show up to this stuff anyways. You have to be here to say something." And he didn't give me a response. I didn't know if he was going to or not, but I said, "I don't know. Let's ask the guys." And so I said, "You have to say something. What would help us would be to know that no matter what we did is that we had your support." Mm-hmm. So we'll fast forward. We go to the team meeting and the head coach says a word or two. The general manager says the same. And then Lo and behold, George McCaskey walks from the back to the front. Anybody who knows George, very quiet, soft-spoken, walks from the back to the front and says, guys, here's the deal. We play at Soldier Field. Play at Soldier Field. And the head coach, his dad was in the military, Navy SEAL, right? So it's like, we have the utmost respect for the military. But I also understand where you all are coming from. So my only ask is that whatever you decide to do, do it together. And so with that, the meeting adjourned. And usually the night before games, we finish that meeting, we'll go, we'll get a little bit of ice cream, hang out in the hotel, just laugh, joke, mm-hmm. kick it. Well, this time there wasn't any laughing and joking and kicking it. We were meeting in the hallway, meeting in our hotel rooms, meeting in the dining hall, just meeting, talking and trying to come to a consensus. There were some guys who said, man, I'm taking a knee no matter what. I don't care. Mm-hmm. One dude, Benny Cunningham, he was in St. Louis playing for the Rams right around when Mike Brown was killed. And a lot of his teammates protested and he didn't. He was scared. Mm-hmm. And he said, hey, I missed that opportunity then. I don't care. I'm taking a knee no matter what.
Yeah.
And we had other guys, right? Benny was a black guy from Tennessee. We had another guy, a white guy from Pensacola, Florida, Josh Sitton. He just came from Green Bay. And he said, hey, man, I put my hand over my heart. That's what I do.
Yeah.
It's who I am. And I'm not changing. Mm-hmm. So that's where I stand. And then you had guys in the middle. And so we went to sleep that night. I went to sleep that night not knowing what we were going to do. And no, I wasn't a captain on the team. And I wasn't, you know.
It wasn't on your shoulders to make this decision. You were just a part of the conversation.
No, but it really was though, Jamie.
Okay.
Because for whatever reason, maybe it's because of who I am. I love talking to people. I get the pulse of the team. It was on my shoulders to say, what are we going to do? People trusted me.
Yeah.
I didn't ask for that and say, hey, guys, I'm the captain. I'm the quarterback. They just said, hey, Acho, what are we doing? So that's what happened. The next morning, walking to get to the stadium. We all got there 2 hours before. It's kind of when you're required to get there as a player. And I walk in the locker room and immediately I see Josh and I see Benny. And look at me and say, Acho, what are we doing? What are we doing tomorrow? What's the plan? And funny enough, the night before, I was super stressed out because I said, God, I didn't ask to be put in this position to make the decision for the entire team. If I make the wrong one, it could damage my relationship with the owner, with the chairman. It could potentially ruin my image and how I look and all the things. And I remember being stressed out. And I don't remember what verse it was that I read that night, but either someone sent me a verse or I read a verse. And I just, it's like this peace just overwhelmed me. Mm-hmm. It was like, you're going to be okay. And so I wake up the next morning, go to the locker room. They ask, you know, Benny sees me. Acho, what we doing? Josh sees me. Hey, Sam, what's the plan? And I look at everybody. I say, we're going to put our hands over our heart. I say, we're going to lock arms. We're locking arms as a team to show that we're a team, that we're united. We're going to lock arms. And so that's what we did. So we went out as a team. We locked arms. The team we played against, it was some guys on that team stayed in the locker room. Some guys came out. Other guys stayed in the tunnel. One guy had their hand. It just wasn't a good look from their team. We ended up winning the game. And after that, George came to me and said, and then after that, so we're in the locker room. I don't know if it was a good thing or a bad thing. I just know that we won. And so we're in the locker room. I'm sitting down, still kind of nervous, thinking if I made the right decision. Well, George shows up in the locker room now. Now he's making a beeline right at me. And now I'm thinking, okay, now I'm really done for. This is really the time. And he comes right to me. He puts his hand out. He shakes my hand. He says, Sam, I'm proud of how you handled that. But I don't want this to be the last time we're having these kind of conversations. If you want to continue to have the convos, continue to try and make real change, come up to my office and let's talk. Invite any player you want. Let's have a conversation because I care about this stuff as well. And so I did. And so that developed into a really cool relationship where I'm not going to give away the rest, but we got a chance to do some really cool stuff.
Yeah, y'all did. Yeah. So this is my question for you, Sam. I love that story so much. I wanted you to talk about it when I read it in the book. This is just my personal inquiry here that I was just wondering. You're talking about this, the conversations that you and George were having. Would you say that that was happening behind the scenes in a lot of NFL teams that maybe we just didn't know about? No. That was an anomaly. Okay.
It was an anomaly. Yeah. Because people didn't know how to have the conversation. Back then, taking a knee was the most, in a lot of ways, divisive and looked down upon things you could do. People didn't understand. If you go back and watch Colin Kaepernick's first interview, he said, man, I got family in the military. I love the military. This has nothing to do with the military, but it has to do with just, I'm seeing black people getting killed every single day by people in power, by police officers, by people in power. And I just want our country to live up to, you know, its creed and to what it says. And so people didn't know how to deal with that. Mm-hmm. They didn't know what to do. A lot of people thought it was disrespecting the flag and the military, and people didn't know what to do. And so those conversations really weren't happening, at least from owner to management, from ownership to players. It was really more, obviously players had their circles And maybe ownership had their circles and their ideas, and blacks had their circles, and whites had their circles, black people, and white people. But that crossing that chasm was unique. It wasn't happening.
It's interesting because, you know, if the listener doesn't know, Sam's brother, Emmanuel Acho, put out some great videos this summer. Our family was in one of them. That was super exciting. But one of the videos, the last one that I believe is the last one that he did, was with Roger Goodell. And that was, you know, an interesting conversation. And I feel like it helped a lot of people. You can correct me if I'm wrong. To me, it helped me as a woman who cares about these issues and who's raising black children. When I heard Emmanuel talk to Roger Goodell, it helped me feel like there were conversations happening maybe for the first time that should have happened a while ago. And I don't know if, would you agree with that statement?
That's absolutely accurate. I mean, from 2017 till now, so 3 years or different, what a difference three, really almost 4 years. So that's when Cap started really taking a knee in 2016. Yeah. What a difference 4 years can make. These conversations that weren't happening then are happening now. These people coming to the table that wouldn't come to the table earlier, coming to the table now. And so for me, I'm encouraged because I'm seeing people willing to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Willing to address issues that they were maybe blinded to or maybe didn't know about beforehand. So I'm super encouraged.
I'm encouraged as well. And, you know, I always tell people, like, these aren't the first time most people are having these conversations, but it's exciting to see people kind of having that light bulb go off. Because, I mean, the truth is, for, you know, most white people in the world, they don't have to think about these things because it doesn't affect their life. And so all of a sudden, with 2020 slowing down and people maybe seeing things and hearing things for the first time, it's been really great. Something funny is that when your brother interviewed Mr. Goodell and he referenced the video that my family was in.
Yes.
Let me tell you, Sam, my phone was blown up. People being like, Roger Goodell better get you some football tickets.
Yes, I saw that. That brought me great joy. And obviously I saw the interview, that episode you all did with Emmanuel, and obviously that was strong. And then to see Goodell go back and reference that, because I reached out to Goodell. So we developed a relationship, and Emmanuel wanted to have him to have come on. And so I reached out and asked if he had seen any of the episodes. He said, yeah, he had. And so, though I didn't know which ones he had or what he was going to reference, but yeah, it just goes to show, like, the power that comes when you actually let the world see you.
Yeah.
Right, Jamie, you and Aaron could have said, well, this is not our place, and maybe we just sit back, and it's risky. Mm-hmm. It's risky. Mm-hmm. But you said, you know what? Let's let the world see us.
Yeah. That's good. I'm going to remind my kids of that. People have asked how my kids have been doing since then. And honestly, my kids aren't having these conversations on an everyday basis. You know, it affects my kids. You know, we live in Dripping Springs, which, you know where that is, outside of Austin, a predominantly white area. And I'm raising black children. I think maybe, am I right that you and Emmanuel grew up in a, like, predominantly white area?
No, absolutely. That's absolutely right.
So, like, it's not, I know that these conversations are happening, but Aaron and I have told our kids often, like, we're so proud of you because what you did that day, it feels kind of small to you. And, like, they've gone on and, you know, they're, like, just playing football and playing Fortnite, you know, but I'm like, you guys you made a really big impact on a lot of people's lives. And so I'm so proud of my kids. So proud of my kids. Mm-hmm. Oh, and they did. They let the world see them and their emotions and their real feelings. And so I was grateful for that opportunity too.
Yeah. And it changed so many people's perspectives, right? Mm-hmm. I think it just brought this real, so Emmanuel didn't tell a lot of people this, and I mean, there's no reason to, but maybe he does, but not before every episode, but before a lot of episodes, we'll talk and we'll chat. And, you know, I'll say, hey man, who's up next, or how's it going, or whatever. And I know he was excited about a lot, but he was, I think, most excited about you all's in a lot of ways, because he said, this is going to reach people that may not have been reached before. He said, this episode is going to be fire. You know what I mean? And before it was released, because y'all taped it, y'all did the thing, he said, bro, I shed real tears.
Mm.
Anybody who knows Emmanuel knows he's not the crier. Mm-hmm. He's not the emotional. He's very just logical and
you
know, A squared plus B squared is C squared. And I don't need to hear anything else. And he said, dude, I shed real tears. And so he's like, that episode, I mean, I know it changed a lot of people.
Well, I think what was so beautiful and profound about that episode was nothing Aaron and I did, but it was just, you're seeing, it's hard to, when you, I think I always say stories change the world, because I think when you hear someone's story, when you have proximity to someone and you hear their pain and you hear what they're going through, it's different than what you read on Twitter or see in the news or whatever, like real people's stories. And so then they're looking at my teenagers saying, this is how we really feel. And I think it's just hard to turn away from that. And it's hard for you to kind of, well, that can't be true, you know, for them. And you're like, well, this is like a 15-year-old kid and this is what he's feeling. Like, that's not fake. So it was really good. So anyhow, grateful for that conversation. And Sam, I'm so grateful for this book. This book, Let the World See You, almost called Be You. And, you know, I love
and
that.
You, and I'm still mad. I'm a competitor, right? So I'm like, no. I don't care who this person is, man. I don't care whoever they are. Let's convince them to change their title.
That is so funny.
And then literally, and then like, I think it was like a month ago, I saw, maybe it was over, probably over a month ago. And I was like, it was Jamie. You know, so anyways, but so I'm excited. In all reality, and I love my title. Like, I love, like, Let the World See You.
Yeah.
I think that's real. Because even as a publisher and as editors were looking at it, they said, hey, I understand, like, the point you're making, Be You. But what you're really trying to say, mm-hmm. as we read through it, is as anybody reads a book, you're really saying, no, let the world see you.
Mm-hmm.
Let them see your quirks, your passions, your desires, your family. Let them see you.
Mm-hmm.
And the freedom will come from that. Just like we talked about now with your family.
Mm-hmm.
You let the world see you. And who knows, that may have opened up the door for Roger Goodell to come not only do the interview with Emmanuel, but to change his mindset on what. How do you do race well in America?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And now all of a sudden that could inform his decision when it comes to the NFL for the next 10, 20, 30, however long he's the commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
Because you, Jamie, and Aaron and your kids, y'all let the world see you. And so that's my desire. My goal is that anybody who reads this book, that their life would be changed by, they would read the book and they would say, you know what? I'm going to let the world see me. And they'll not only will they receive freedom, but everyone around them will receive freedom as well. My prayer is that people will pick up the book, read the pages, and they'll be different afterwards, right? They'll be different. And then now, like you saw with you and with Emmanuel and with your family and with Goodell, they might even realize it, right? Okay. The kid's like, I said something, I was in tears, it was okay. But now Goodell's doing this stuff, and now it's changing young black men who are going through the NFL, young white men who are going through the NFL, moms whose kids play in the NFL, or now it's going to high school, college. I mean, one action, one risk of, because it's risky to let the world see you, but one risk is really what I'm after.
I love it. And I think our books are like cousin perfect books for people to read, because we're saying the same thing. And it's so important because we've both experienced the freedom that comes from that. And I'm just going to say it. I'm like, I need Roger Goodell to see the Ivies at a football game is what I need Roger Goodell to do. Come on.
Let's go. Forget y'all. Forget y'all. You need to give him tickets to the Dripping Springs game.
That's right. Come on. We're doing good out here.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Sam, okay, I ask everyone at the end, what are you loving? What are you reading? Is there something that like you're loving these days or a book that you're reading? What's making you excited?
Yeah, one thing I'm still reading is this book called Jesus. It's a devotional called Jesus Calling by Sarah Young.
So
and
good.
Honestly, I started that almost 2 years ago, started reading it right around Thanksgiving, the year that, I mean, everything, all this stuff is all around the same time, right? After my wife and all that stuff happened, then we traded for Khalil Mack and then I tore my pec. So I was injured. I was out for the season. I usually could never travel during the season, right? I hadn't seen my family for Thanksgiving in 10 years because I hadn't been home because Texas.
College,
Really 12 years because, college we played and NFL you got games. And so I asked my coaches and the staff, hey, I know I'm doing rehab and I'm injured, but is it okay if I go home for a few days, take a long break? And for me, that was a big deal because I'm supposed to be the guy who's always on time and showing up. And they say, yeah, feel free, go right ahead. And so I did. And got a chance to spend Thanksgiving with my family for the first time since high school, right? At home, not with them, but at home.
Yeah.
And I stumbled upon this book that's, I don't even know who gave it to me. I just saw it. I said, let me just open this thing up. And funny enough, I opened it up and it was signed by a friend of mine named Allie Moran, who she was a soccer player at Baylor when my sister was getting her master's in healthcare administration at Baylor. And I remember going to some of my sister's classes just because I love learning. And I was like, hey, let me just go. I was in college. Let me just go. I might have been in the NFL at the time. And I said, let me just pop in on this class. And I had some friends who played for the UT soccer team who had transferred. And so I remember meeting Allie and her dad had just got diagnosed with some disease. I didn't know what it was, but she had a younger brother who loved football. And so I actually went over to their house and just played football with the little brother and just I was like, hey, I got time. I'm hanging out. Let's do it. And I guess she had mailed me this book. Maybe she gave it to me. I didn't think too much of it. That was back in like 2010.
Oh, wow.
And I just had it up in the room, my parents' room at my parents' house. Well, come back 2018 and I see it and I open it up and I read the devotional for that day. And when I say it spoke to me, it spoke to me. And I literally have not put it down since. Mm-hmm. And so I'm reading that every day, usually every morning. That's what I'm reading.
Yeah. That book is a classic, timeless. If anyone's looking for a good devotional, go get Jesus Calling by Sarah Young. Sam, thank you. Thanks for joining me on the happy hour. This has been so much fun. This is like my favorite kind of day. Like, we talked football, we talked marriage, parenting, being our true selves, freedom. This has been great. So thank you for joining me.
No, thank you for having me. I'm excited. And hopefully it's 2020. So I don't know if I'm going to be right on my football predictions, but ask your son what he thinks. I really want to know, so we can maybe talk offline, because I'd love to know what he thinks, because everybody's saying it's going to be the Chiefs, and I don't know. We'll see.
I should have texted him while we were chatting to see the real predictions, but I'll let you know what he says.
Please do.
Thank you, Sam.
Awesome. Thanks, Jamie.
You guys, I loved having Sam on the show, and I'm still giggling over the fact that he had to change the title of his book because of my book title. Isn't that funny? Also, I would like to tell you that my son Deacon has made his final predictions for the Super Bowl. He is predicting the Titans and the Cardinals. So if you like football, if you like NFL, who are you predicting to go to the Super Bowl this year? Today's show was edited and mixed by the team at Podshaper, and the music was developed for the show by Matt Graham. Show notes are written by Abigail Castell, and the whole thing is organized by Lindsay Sweeney. Friends, enjoy your weekend. Share the show with a friend. Have a happy hour with a friend. And next week, I am bringing to you so many of our favorite godmother, Lisa Bevere. You're going to love the wisdom that we had in this conversation coming up next week. Have a great weekend. Bye, guys.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.